Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
We're going to have to do a little better than that. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, all right. Good to see you. I am here from the state of Michigan. That seems like a long ways away. You might be asking, Brother Aaron, why are you in Las Vegas in the middle of March? I'll tell you why. 8 inches of snow, 10 degrees in Michigan right now. Okay. And so this is really nice. How many of you think this is cold, by the way? How many think it's just a little chilly, a little cold? You guys are crazy. This is gorgeous. This is beautiful. This is like an evening in August for me, okay? This is just wonderful. So it is good to be here, Liberty Baptist Church, Las Vegas. We actually were out recruiting at West Coast Baptist College. We are hiring close to 80 seasonal staff to come serve in our departments and counselors, things like that. And so we are out recruiting at West Coast and taking a few days here, flying back to Michigan. And don't worry, I know it's nice. I know everybody back home is jealous that I'm here, but I've got 6 more weeks of winter easy when I go back, okay? And so come visit me sometime in July. We have summer, it lasts like 2 weeks or something like that. Come visit us, okay? So now you got some friends in Michigan, but it's good to be here at Liberty Baptist Church. Appreciate the Tice family so very much. Of course, my wife Tina is here. Tina, wave. You want to stand and say anything? I ask her that all the time. She never takes me up on that. Okay, so my wife Tina is here. She's also from Michigan. Her dad is Pastor Doug Jackson. How many remember Pastor Jackson? Okay. Yeah, how could you not remember Pastor Jackson? Okay. And so that, of course, is her mom and dad, the Jacksons. And I appreciate them so very much. And, of course, Tina is here. And we have 2 boys, Jack and Will. And they are somewhere. Somewhere in the building, I think, with youth group, okay? So make sure you get a chance to greet them. So we're visiting. Appreciate the opportunity to kind of do a Bible study with you tonight. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. If you just want to turn your scriptures there, we'll be there just in a moment. Once again, it is good to be here with you. Appreciate the Tice family. And, of course, the Jackson, the Tices go way back. And I've had the opportunity to get to know them. And, of course, Pastor Matt's been out speaking for us. And Charity's over there. She spoke for us. And so appreciate their family, their love for the Lord, their standing for Jesus Christ. We appreciate your church, and of course, has kind of supported Camp Kobach along the way, and thank you so much for that. And of course, the missions group coming in May, which will be a big blessing to us. And so it's just cool to be with the people of God tonight. How many of you had a long day today? Raise your hand. Yes. How many of you had a long day at work? Lots of crazy. You got this thing called traffic. You guys ever heard of that? Cars, you know, we don't have that as much in northern Michigan. Okay. So the traffic, the work day. So we trust that God will use his word in a special way. Of course, we won't be long tonight, and we're going to be in Psalm chapter 42. But I hope that as we gather together as the people of God, and we have a book that God wrote, right? Don't we? God has communicated. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that Holy Spirit who moved in men to give us this book is the same Holy Spirit that indwells us, and that Holy Spirit can even do a work in our heart even tonight. That's why we gather around God's Word. And so it is a privilege to be here, and I came to know Jesus at age 17, and I too believe that a dead Jewish carpenter is the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that he raised from the dead, and that he conquered sin and death. And he's the King, and he's coming again. I believe that too. And so it is a privilege to gather with you and to try to be encouragement. And we're going to look into God's word and trust the Lord to use his word in a special way. Okay, everybody good? I don't think you're good until you hear at least one dad joke. Why did Dracula lie in the wrong? You guys like dad jokes? How many of you hate dad jokes? How many of you are already going to not listen to the rest of the sermon because I'm saying the dad joke? How many think dad jokes are groaners? How many of you realize that's the point of qualifying it as a dad joke, right? Okay, all right. So why did Dracula lie in the wrong coffin? He made a grave mistake. Why did it take longer to get from first to second base than it does to get from second base to third base? Because there's a short stop in between. Shout out to my grandma. That's the only way she can hear. I used to... I could do this all night. I'm not going to. Last one. I used to hate facial hair. But then it grew on me. Okay, that's it. I could do that all night. I love dad jokes. Anyways, hey, listen, let's get to God's word. And there's a wonderful psalm here. And God's word has really come alive to me and the truths taught in this psalm. And I just kind of want to share with you tonight. And we can kind of make this interactive, a little Bible study. But there's a wonderful truth here in Psalm chapter 42. Okay, let's go ahead. And for sake of time, would you look at with me at verse 5? Okay, this is Psalm chapter 42. How many of you like that first verse? Okay, remember, as the deer, as the hart panteth after the water, very familiar verse. Let's get into the context of what's going on here. And so let's look at Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. Here's what it says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is kind of like, has been maybe called a depression psalm. Somebody who's really working through some things, okay? And so we kind of see that in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Okay, everybody got verse 5? Okay, now look down to verse 11. Okay, how many of you see the similarity already? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Okay, so anytime there's like a verse that sort of repeats itself, that's very important. And so we have this psalmist working through some things, and he's kind of like, we'll get into it in a second, kind of talking to himself, having a little pep talk, if you would, okay? Now, I want you to see verse 3 as well. The Bible says this, my tears have been my meat day and night, okay? And what that's saying is that what I'm going through is so difficult, my tears, it affects even my appetite. Okay, you ever been there? Working through something that it bothers you so much you don't even feel like eating? Okay? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, what's that last phrase? Where is your God? Now, check this out. Look down at verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, come on now, where is your God? Let's focus our attention kind of on that phrase. I've entitled kind of the Bible study tonight, where is your God? How many of you play or do the March Madness, right? It's like right around the corner. It's conference tournaments, I think, right now. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about, March Madness? How many of you know what I'm talking about, but you don't care? Okay, that's supposed to be great. Okay, so we're a little short on the March Madness. That's all right. Okay, it's about a sport. It has an orange ball called basketball. Anybody know that? Anybody play basketball? Okay. Do you guys play basketball in Las Vegas? Okay, so you guys, you at least know the sport. Come on, help me out here, please. Okay, so you got the sport. Okay, so basketball is played. Now, most of you at least are familiar with this kind of this concept. Okay, you know in the game of basketball when a team is doing really bad, okay, and they're like turning the ball over. They're like not playing defense. They're just totally out of it. What does every good coach do at that moment? Calls a what? Okay, calls a timeout. And we have the? That's the wrong sport, man. That's the brown ball, oblong shape, the huddle, football. You must be a Tom Brady lover. Okay, we need to, oh, I guess they huddle. Yeah, they huddle. But they call the full time out, or they get a 30, right? Everybody with me? 30 second. Is there any referees in here? Okay, we're going to cancel timeout. We're going to cancel the Bible study and just talk about basketball now and dad jokes. Okay, so, okay, they call a timeout and they bring everybody together, and the coach usually has this pep talk with the team to get them back on track, right? And most good coaches yell. But the idea here is that they got to stop the game. Okay, get everybody together, and let's just reset and refocus just a little bit. You know, Psalm chapter 42 is kind of like that idea. The psalmist is going through some stuff that is really bothering him. Okay, to the point that a lot of commentaries call this a psalm of depression. Okay, and so getting them together. Notice the text, if you would, in this idea of this timeout. And so notice what, first of all, verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? That word cast down has the idea of being overthrown, knocked down, defeated. And it's like he's talking to himself, okay, right? He's having his own little life timeout. Okay, you know, 30-second timeout. Soul, why are you defeated? Okay, you ever feel that way? Is it possible for a Christian to feel that way? Absolutely. Why are you knocked down, defeated? Now, notice the next part, verse 5. Why art thou disquieted in me? That is, on the inside, there's this unrest, this worry, this deep anxiety. Okay? And that's maybe you. Maybe you tonight. And so this psalmist is having this little timeout pep talk about getting the focus back. Now, notice the text quickly goes in verse 5. To this. Soul, why are you cast down? Soul, why are you at unrest? Why is there internally all this uneasiness? Hope thou in God. And so somehow, somewhere, there has been a distraction from hope. Somehow, somewhere, there's been an expectation that has been misplaced. Doesn't this happen to us? Does it not? We just get distracted. Do we not just get distracted? Do we not just turn our expectations sometimes to things other than God and His Word? And sometimes we just need a timeout, come together and say, okay, soul, okay, you're disquieted. You're just off. You're hurting. You're struggling. But I just want to remind you, soul, to keep hoping in God. Now, the guy from Michigan, you know, flew a long way out here. And if you thought you were going to get something new in church, which should always make you dangerous if you've been in church a long time, okay? But we oftentimes you'd be reminded of the same things, that you still need to hope in God. And if you're struggling and going through something tonight, okay, you may need to call a little 30-second timeout, get together, and he says this, hope thou in God. By the way, hope is a wonderful thing. Now, the Bible says this, listen carefully. Now, the God of hope, this is Romans chapter 14, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? That through your faith, through your dependence upon Jesus, the Holy Spirit can do something in your life that you're abounding with hope. You know why? Because we serve the God of hope. Okay? So hope is a wonderful thing. My soul, ready for this? This is good. Psalm 62, verse 5. Are you ready? Okay. Everybody ready? I just read in 1 Corinthians 14, it's a great verse. It says, like, I'd rather speak with 5 words than 10,000 that nobody understands. And so that verse really spoke to my heart, that sometimes we preach and just go like, wah, okay, we just got to make sure you understand. There's no point unless we're understanding, right? Here it is. You need hope in God. Okay, the God of hope, right? And listen to this. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. You know, if you get your expectation off of other people and off of other things, and surely tell me we're not trusting the government anymore. Are we all on the same page on that one? Get our expectation away from everything and everybody else. And when you look to the God of heaven and earth to meet your needs and to touch your heart and to do something in your life, you'll never be disappointed. Because Jesus Christ never has one time ever disappointed anybody. And so if your expectation is only from Him. And so the psalmist says, hope thou in God. By the way, doesn't the verse continue? And it says this, hope thou in God, for I shall yet what? Praise Him. That His hope is often manifested in praise. Do you ever notice people who are just praising the Lord are people who are looking forward to the future and are confident what God's going to do? And when you start thinking about the future, and I didn't say the 2024 election. I said the future of what God is going to do for His people. And you start getting your mind and heart on the resurrected body. Come on. You start getting your mind and heart about heaven, about not experiencing pain and suffering and death, about the millennial kingdom, about God raising you from the dead. And our hope gets back on what it should be. You will have the confidence and praise in the Lord. Okay, so here we go. Now, let's go back to that question really quick. And we're going to be kind of doing a Bible study. I like to get some interaction here. So how many of you feel like you understand what the psalmist is saying? Okay, we're going to take a little time out. Okay, he's having a pep talk with himself. Okay, talking to his soul and say, soul, why are you going through this? Soul, I need to remind you to hope in God and to yet praise him. Now, what makes this so difficult in this psalm, what this psalmist is actually going through, why he's defeated, why he has anxiety, is because I want you to look back at verse 3 and verse 10. Go back to verse 3. Here we go. My tears have been my meat day and night. I mentioned that there is a physiological challenge here of what the psalmist is going through, to the point he's lost his appetite. And there's something going on here. I'm going to give you three quick words. Number one, it's deep. So my tears have been my meat day and night. If your anxiety is affecting your appetite, that's pretty deep. That's pretty serious. How many understand that? Look down at verse 10. As with a sword in my what? Yeah, that's pretty strong language, huh? Cut deep. And so, you know, the crazy guy from Michigan shows up. You don't know me. I don't know you. And I don't know what's going on in your life. But I guarantee tonight that there's at least one person, probably a multitude, that are going through some tough stuff. Yeah. Family. You know, work. Good night. $5.99 I paid for gas today. Now, for most of us, that's probably just an inconvenience. But for some people in this room, that's a big deal. There are people who are losing jobs, going to lose jobs. And there's some crazy stuff going on in this world. And this psalmist is going through some deep things. But he's not only going through some deep things, he's going through some daily things. Notice what the text of Scripture says. While they continually, see that? Say unto me. Look at verse 10. While they say, next word, daily unto me. Okay. You know, when I was just saved, I became a Christian at age 17, public high school kid, came to know Christ, went to a kind of a youth rally, came home, and my grandpa was not saved. And of course, one good indicator that you come to know Jesus is you get a burden for your family right away. How many have been there? Okay. Remember that? Okay. I hope you still have that burden. So I began to witness my grandpa. Okay. And my grandpa was a World War II vet. He has passed away. He was on the beaches of Normandy, like on the beaches of Normandy. Okay. World War II vet, came home, survived the war, worked for John Deere back in the Quad Cities in Illinois, and was, I would say, a respectable man, but he was not a saved man, okay? But when I got saved, I knew my grandpa was a hard Catholic man, and he needed the Lord. And I began to talk to my grandpa about Jesus. And I still remember it right now to this day, going over there and pleading with my grandpa that he needed to be saved. And I remember the day that my grandpa let me have it. Wet behind the ears, blankety blank, don't ever talk to me about that again. And I remember being a 17-year-old man. I knew what I had was real. Come on, yeah? When you get Christ, you know what you got. Okay. And I knew what I had was real. But you know how hard that was? Some of you, you know, I work at a Christian camp. I'm surrounded by Christian employees. We're all Christians. We do Christian things. We see the gospel. It's great. Okay. Some of you every day, go to a place, whether it's work, maybe it's even in your own home, where you're trying to live for God. Yeah? You're trying to live for Jesus Christ. And it's not only deep, but it's a daily berating, belittling, antagonistic culture that you live in. And it's hard, is it not? And I remind you tonight that even though it's deep, and even though it's daily, that there has to be sometimes a time out where you just get alone and start getting your mind and heart back on hoping in the God of heaven who has never let you down to this moment. But it's hard, isn't it? It's daily. That's what the psalmist says. It's daily. It's deep. It's daily. And of course, it's direct. The question is this. Where is your God? Now, can everybody say that question? Where is your God? Turn to the person next to you and say, where is your God? Okay, now let's think about it for a second. We're having a little Bible study here. So this question was being berated towards the psalmist. He's working through these things, and this question, this idea is being absolutely shoved into his face. Well, I got a question for you. Okay, so where is your God? Is somebody actually concerned about the geographical whereabouts of God in this verse? You know, like, hey, it's got over here in the choir loft, you know, it's got over in the baptismal tank, it's got over here, and obviously the spiritual people to my left side, because he's wearing a Chicago Bears jacket. Bro, like, what's up with that? Are you from Chicago? Bless your soul. Where are you from? Oh, yeah, dude, yeah. I grew up in Illinois, so I live in Michigan now, so yeah. Pastor Matt's my friend because we like the baseball team. Oh, White Sox. Oh, we were just starting to become friends. And that fellowship is broken, obviously. Listen, Mr. White Sox. Okay, now we got the Cubs going and stuff. You probably hear enough from Pastor Matt. Okay, so listen, Mr. White Sox. Everyone has a bad century, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, see Pastor Matt. He'll explain it later, okay? So I have no idea what I was talking about. Where's your God? Thank you. Yeah. Where's my mind? Okay. So where's your God? Okay. So is anybody concerned about the geographical whereabouts of God? You know, kind of the psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So is anybody really concerned about the geographical whereabouts of God? No, that's not what the psalmist is saying. What he's saying, and I think you know what he's saying this, hey, where is your God? Where's God in your life? Where's God in your life? Hey, listen, I'm not seeing it. I know it's hard, you're struggling, you're going through it, and you're depressed, and your soul's off, but where's God in your life? That's what he's saying. Now, I don't have time to speak on all these, but I want to mention and just challenge you, probably even just with the first one, but I'll mention three. I think if you study this psalm, there's probably more, but I think there's three main areas where God can always be found in the life of a believer. Okay? And so I want us to think about that tonight. And we're going to be done literally in a few minutes here, okay? So we're not going to have time to go through all this. But when you came to church tonight and you're going through some stuff, I just want to challenge you that even though this world is crazy, even though there's some things on the out or on the inside going on, that there is always three areas where God can be found in your life. Number one, in your desires. Okay. Number two, in your devotion. Number three, in your deliberation. Let's just quickly look. Now we're going to go back to one of our favorite verses, right? So the first place where God can be found is always in our desires. Look at chapter 42, verse 1. The Bible says this, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul, what? Thirsteth for God, for the living God. That is the God who is alive. So even though this antagonistic, crazy world is going to question where God is in my life, there's one place where God can always be found in the life of a believer, and that is in our spiritual desires or our spiritual affections. Spiritual affections are the internal desires for the things of the Lord. Remember when you first got saved, how that you began to have an appetite for what? Matter of fact, tell me, what did you get an appetite for? For God's word. How many of you remember when the Bible became alive to you and verses started like jumping off the page and you're like, whoa. And then you read that verse, for the word of God is living and active or alive and powerful. Okay. Yeah. What else? Some appetite, some spiritual desires. Yeah. How many of you remember like you wouldn't go to church at all? How many remember that? You got saved. You ain't going to miss it all. Right. So when I became a Christian, my mom actually knew the Lord, and Tina knows this story. So, Brother Neil, my mom was saved, maybe high school, married my dad who was not saved, and she was a very immature Christian, okay? So all of a sudden, like, you know, later on after they had kids, I became a Christian, and that was like on fire for Christ. And so I'm like, what? There's Sunday night church? You people are crazy. This is awesome. Okay, so all of a sudden, I'm just by myself, a senior in high school, getting in the car, driving to church. And I'm like, anytime the doors were open, I was there. It was awesome. Okay. Well, guess what? My mom, who knew the Lord, started seeing me going to church on Sunday night. Okay. And all of a sudden, I remember it. I remember the time where I'm going by and she's getting ready. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. Why are you going to church? Well, I'm going to go to church with you tonight. And that began to be an appetite my mom developed, of course, the appetite for going to church. Now, here's the point. This verse talks about my soul thirsting for God. Jonathan Edwards said, true religion only consists or always consists of spiritual desires. It's kind of like obvious, but here's the deal. When God does something on the inside, isn't that what salvation is? He changes your what? Your appetites, your desires. Jesus, is he not bread? Is he not water? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. John 7, a great verse. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Yeah. You remember when Jesus satisfied your thirst? Or have you forgotten? Hope thou in God. That's the verse. And part of that, the psalmist understands, as a deer is panting for the water brooks, so the soul is panting after God. It all comes back to that point of having an internal, powerful appetite for God himself. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto what? Me. And everybody in this room knows this isn't about religion tonight, is it? Everyone knows this isn't about a Baptist church, although I'm a Baptist, I think you should be if you follow the Bible. This ain't about Pastor Tice. This isn't about anything else. Other than you have a thirst and desire for the God of heaven, and that's why you came tonight. At least I hope that's why you came tonight, and that's why you need to keep coming. And that's how you're going to make it through life, that when you go through difficult things, it just comes back to having a thirst for Almighty God. Jesus Christ says this, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. And that's the thirst. Emmaus Road, you guys remember that story about the Emmaus Road and the disciples? We don't have time to look at it. But there's a verse in there that says this. Matter of fact, you know what? Remember they were talking with, they didn't know who it was, but it was Jesus, right? And then Jesus opened up their eyes, and then they're recalling back that story. And here's what they said. Did not our heart burn within us? And it was that burning heart for Jesus Christ that became the key. Now here's the deal. We need to have a thirst for God. Everybody got it? Now how many of you know that sometimes things put out the fire? Yeah. It could be worldly entertainment. Could just be a little too much scrolling. Mr. Wilson, I thought you said this is a Bible study. You're not supposed to be preaching tonight. Okay, here's the deal. Scroll, 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 scroll. And all of a sudden, you lost your appetite for God because of what you see on this phone. And then there's stuff going on the inside that you're working through. And maybe it's time to get off this a little bit, right? There could be a fight at home. Something could be going on at home right now. Listen, I'm like the visiting guy. I'm going to blow in, blow up, blow out. Got it? Okay. maybe there's something going on at home that you need to get right. Because I know it's about having a thirst for God, but having a thirst for God, it means you're going to have a love for people and to do the Christian experience and the Christian life. And sometimes things at home can be stuff that puts out the fire. T and I went on vacation, and we were, of course, living in Michigan. And we actually went up more north, more northern Michigan, although we live in northern Michigan. Okay. And we got a little cabin on the lake, enjoyed some time with the family about 5-6 years ago or so. And, of course, Michigan weather's kind of crazy. We're talking August, okay? And all of a sudden, this nice, supposed to be beautiful August day. And I know my definition of beautiful is different than your definition of beautiful. But it was really a crazy Michigan day. And all of a sudden, I think it got down, what was it, in the 40s? It was like cold. And that's even cold for us because remember our 2 weeks of summer we tried to enjoy? Okay, it was like cold. It was like half rainy, half misty. Then it would get sunny. Okay, so I decided early in the morning because it was a freezing cold summer day that I was going to start a fire. Okay, so we're sitting on this little cabin on the lake, and we got this little great fire pit that's right on the kind of the pier, and it's really, really beautiful. So I went out there, and I started this fire. Well, I decided that fire was going to be lit all day long because it was that cold, summer day vacation. So it's like you're on vacation. What else are you going to do? But like, you know, there's nothing to do outside because it's freezing. You can't go like on the lake because it's too cold. So I'm going to start my fire. So I remember literally going through like piles and piles of firewood because it was like the house's firewood. I didn't cut it. If I would have cut it, I'd probably been more careful. But it was their firewood. So I just used their firewood all day long. But it was like misty, rainy. And I'm telling you what, every 15 minutes I'm out there putting wood on it. I'm guarding the fire. I'm keeping it going. It goes down. I build it back up. And all day long I was building the fire. Well, I learned something very important today, how to protect the fire. And maybe in church tonight, that maybe there's just one decision you can walk away with and one goal. Because here's the deal, and I think you guys got it, but there is a world out there that is asking you, Liberty Baptist Church, where is your God? And are we really going to let this and the nonsense, distraction, waste of time burn our fire for Jesus Christ out and throw water? And maybe tonight in church, you just ask the question, do I have a thirst for God? Am I willing to protect the fire? Maybe some of you need to have a little powwow tonight as a couple. Yeah? Honey, do we have powwows every once in a while? Cherry's always my fault, but you know that, right? Brianna, you know, we're in ministry. We've been married for 17 years. She's the sweetest, wonderfulest, beautifulest. I just had to trick her for a little while, then she's committed me, and now she's stuck forever. Neil, you know how that goes. Okay, got it. And being in ministry and being a director of a Christian camp, I was a pastor for 10 years, there's times that we need to work through things. Did you know there's that verse in the Bible, men? I didn't plan on saying this, but where it talks about how you're supposed to dwell with your wife and according to knowledge and to give honor. And there's that one phrase at the very end. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It says, you better fulfill your role as a husband, as you should, that your prayers be not hindered. Huh. Guys, the way you love and cherish your wife is directly related to your thirst and relation with God. And basically God says, I'm not going to listen to you, right? Isn't that where your prayers are going to be hindered? God says, I'm not going to listen to you to get right with your wife. Okay, that didn't go over well. Let's try that again, right? God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayers until you do what you're supposed to do as a husband. Now, here's the deal. We all know we struggle. And all the wives said, now's your chance, wives. Okay. But hey, listen. We're all in this together, right? And that's why we come to church. And that's why we're in this, is to be encouragements. But I want to challenge you to be somebody who protects your fire for Jesus Christ. I'm going to mention it, and we're going to be done the next two. Notice there's also not only desire for God. So as people ask the question, where is your God? Make sure he's always going to be in our desires. This world is crazy, but there should be people waking up tomorrow, getting on their face before the God of heaven and earth. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. There can always be people who seek God. Number two, in our devotion, look at verse 4, and we'll just look at this one. In our devotion, look what it says. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them where? To the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept what? Now, we know the Old Testament Jew worshiped different than we worship, but here's the point. The Old Testament Jew had a commitment and devotion to go worship God in his house. Where is your God? He's right here. Now, I'm talking to like a Wednesday night crowd, right? I'm sure you're all pretty faithful. Maybe there's somebody in here that you don't usually come to Wednesday nights. You need to come back. You know why? Because God's here. And you need to be faithful on Sundays. You know why? Because this world needs to see some committed Christians. And committed Christians are going to be always Christians, the multitude who gather in the house of God with God's people. Okay, and there's a devotion. There's also a devotion, verse 8, that says this, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You guys see that one, verse 8? Everybody see that? So in other words, where is your God? Where is your God? He ought to be in your prayer life. Because it doesn't matter what this crazy world is doing, we need people who seek the face of Almighty God in a committed prayer life for them. God needs to be in your devotion. How many got it? Okay, we're going to wrap up here just here in a moment. How many of you know Clint Jackson? Clint would be Pastor Doug Jackson's Down syndrome son. Of course, this would be Tina's brother. Clint is my brother-in-law. He has Down syndrome, 37 years old. Now, Clint has a dog. Okay, Clint's dog, and it's like his, you know, it's a pet, but it's like his, just one of his close buddies, right? Because Clint, of course, has Down syndrome, and he's very close with his pet. And so Clint named his pet Happy Boy. Okay, and someone once said, well, how did he get the name Happy Boy? Well, I'll tell you exactly how. Back when Tina and I think we had just gotten married. It was really close. I think it was pre-kid, okay? I can't even think back that far, pre-kid, okay. So it was before 8 kids, and Clint has Down syndrome. And Clint would have these times where he would get sometimes grumpy, Brianna. Like, Clint would really get, like, grumpy. Hilarious watching a Down syndrome boy get grumpy, okay. So I was always Clint's buddy. So I would try to cheer Clint up. So I would go over to Clint and stand up for me, brother. And I saw Clint would kind of be grumpy. I said, Clint, you know, he's Down syndrome, but, like, Clint, you need to be happy. Clint, and he would still be grumpy. I said, Clint, happy boy. Come on, Clint, happy boy. And I would just mess with him like that. And finally, Clint would get a smile on his face, okay? Well, one time, I was not there, and Mrs. Jackson walked past the hallway. And there was Clint in the hallway. They kind of had one of those mirrors, those kind of full-size mirrors. And there was Clint in the hallway looking at himself in the mirror. You know what he was doing? He's kind of having a bad day, probably got in trouble or something, okay? So Clint's sitting there in the hallway looking at himself in the mirror. He's saying this, happy boy. Happy boy. Happy boy. I mean, he was sitting there trying to cheer himself up. You know, it's a funny story. But maybe tonight, as the psalmist kind of directs us, that we just need to kind of get in the mirror, take a little time out. We're at church tonight and just say this. Hey, where's your God? Hope thou in God. Hey. Get my expectation off everything else and get it back on God and His Word. And Jesus Christ will never disappoint.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless you.